This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, don't you just love that song? I think Mel McDaniel wrote that song just for you and me on Saturday mornings. What do you think? Well, wake up. It's time to get out there fishing, and we provide you the information you need to do just that. That's what we do on this show. So grab you a cup of coffee, maybe some boudin and a biscuit, and get ready for your two-hour journey to the great outdoors of the Gulf Coast. Well, got some good news this week. Grand Isle's getting a new fishing reef. Compliments of Todd Graves and Raisin Canes, and we'll be covering that for you on Bayou Wild TV. You can actually watch the construction, and then hopefully you get a chance to get out there and catch some fish over it. Those reefs, by the way, they attract fish not immediately, but very shortly after they're constructed, and we'll tell you all about it if you check out a future episode of Bayou Wild TV. Also this morning, if you're still home or you're at the camp, or if you're even on your way to the boat ramp, you can do this when you get home. But I want you to check out your freezer and inventory the game and seafood you have in there. Then figure out if you're going to use enough of it to make room for more, because the hunting seasons are going to be open in a couple of weeks. Fall fishing gets better, and if you don't have enough room, well, Julie Grunewald is going to be joining us a little bit later on to help you solve that problem. And it's called Clean Out Your Freezer Day, and it's coordinated by the Hunters for the Hungry. And if you do make a donation, besides making freezer space, I guarantee you'll feel better about yourself for helping the less fortunate. And if you happen to have one of those successful fishing trips this week and you want to share it with your fellow listeners, we'd like to include it along with your comments and your questions, your reports, and those reports from our professional captains and marina operators. You can do that by texting your message real time here to the studio at 504-260-1870. Don't forget, tell me, how's your freezer looking? Is it full, bare, got just a little bit of room? 504-260-1870. Then this week, we take you to Florida to meet three alleged bad boys of the outdoors. They not only conspired to hoodwink out-of-state hunters, maybe some people here from Louisiana, but also endangered an entire subspecies of wild game, and they are facing thousands of dollars and possible jail time. That's coming up a little bit later on. If you're headed out today, your coastal marine forecast looks like this. And I tell you, this forecast, if it was about 50 degrees cooler, it could be a winter-type forecast. Northerly winds offshore, 8 to 15 knots, about 1 to 2-foot seas. If you're going to be on the interior lakes and bays, you're looking at some northeasterly, maybe switching around to westerly winds later. Pretty light, 5 to 10, got some smooth conditions. Tide range, only 0.4 is your average. Not a lot of water moving out there. Got to look for those points where you'll have maybe some water moving, some bottlenecks, maybe underneath some bridges, deep cuts in the marsh. That's probably going to be your best bet. Mississippi River stage sitting at 4.3 and steady. Pretty low for this time of the year, and right now we don't have any threats of tropical storms or depressions. There's a little system working out there that may be headed to the Atlantic that bears watching. But otherwise, it's going to be continued hot, mostly dry weather along the Great Gulf Coast. Could get you a pop-up shower or two to cool things off. Wouldn't that be nice? All right, we're getting ready to kick it off. We got a bunch of field reporters standing by with a lot of information that you wait every Saturday morning to hear. Robbie Campo will be up first, and we're going to take it on down to Shell Beach. But first, got a three-minute pause. We do those quite often, and thankfully we do, because that's who brings you this show. Absolutely free. You don't need any subscription. One of the few free media outlets still around. And it's called The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, Shell Beach is one of the spots we get reports from each week. And Robbie Campo at Shell Beach and Campos Marina does it for us. Robbie, what's been going on this week?
Well, you know, I'm going to give you a recap, Don, of the week here. Monday was great. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we wound it up with westerly winds. It was northwest, west, and then southwest. And that kind of made fishing a little bit tough. Speckled trout fishing anyway made that a little bit tough. But Yesterday was a game changer. We had a different win yesterday, and the guys got out into the sound out there, and they did very well yesterday. I saw more fish hit the table yesterday than I did Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So, you know, combined. So yesterday was an excellent day for fishing. this morning we wake up, we got a northerly breeze this morning. So down here, and it's probably around the you know, a little over the 10-mile-an-hour mark this morning here. So I'm kind of thinking that's gonna make things a little bit tougher out in that sound today. But nevertheless, the backside of the rock should be good. You know, the backside of the long rock should be good. They caught a bunch of fish there this week. No reason that you can't go pick up a mixed box down there, you know, because if you're not catching just speckled trout, you're going to get some sheephead, you're going to get some puppy drums, you're going to get a redfish or two, and I think you can put a mixed box together. If you come inside of the Mystico around Anastasio, and fish the edge of the channel there, or fish in those little cuts coming all the way back to where you come around the backside of the dam. Plenty of white trout back there, so there's no reason that you can't make a mixed box. My dad and Mr. Allen Blanchett fished Thursday, and they went back at the dam back there and caught a box full of white trout. That was Thursday, so. I mean, there's something that you could do. I mean, you could make something happen, I'm sure. A lot of white trout's been showing up over these oyster reefs over in the Christmas Camp Lake area. So there's that to do with some speckled trout, but there's a lot of throwbacks done. Just so many throwbacks. That, you know, it's 12 and 3/4 and 12 and a half, and I'm just hoping that these things eat enough that they grow to make that 13-inch fish for the fall. Because it's so close, you know what I mean? Can they grow that half an inch in that 2 months before October gets here? That remains to be seen.
Well, I think they absolutely can, and it's very important to remind people, take care of those fish, you know. Try to avoid throwing them in where, you know, one of the predators like a pelican or, you know, a dolphin will get a hold of them. Make sure you try to remove the hooks as gently as you can, and, you know, take care of putting them back in that water, because that's going to be your fish for your next trip, maybe.
Yeah, well, you know, Don, I think and look, this is just my opinion, you know, but I think that, you know, we're doing more harm than good here because, I mean, I hear people come in and I hear these stories. They caught at least 150 that were undersized. And there's a lot of action out there, right? There's plenty of action going on, especially if you're fishing the long rocks. These dolphins are, you know, they skirt in the rocks, you know, just like, you know, they're feeding up along these rocks. And they know they've already been trained, and they know that, you know, when there's boats there that and they're catching fish and they're throwing them over, it's a very good chance that they're going to get gobbled up by a dolphin. And yeah. and that's out of your control because you're doing the right thing and putting him back. But I just don't know if we made the right move here. But I guess time will tell, and we'll see how that works out.
Yeah, it's a big question as to whether, you know, where if it was a 12-inch, still 12-inch size, and people would have caught their limit, they'd done. So they leave all those other fish in the water. But when you're catching and releasing 150 fish, they claim there's a 10% mortality rate, but I'm not so sure how accurate that is. You know, and you may be right. We may be putting too much pressure on the fish by, you know, trying to keep those 13-inch fish and releasing so many 12s and 12-and-a-half that don't survive, that we're doing more damage than good on the overall population. But time will tell. We'll see how the fishing goes, and that's the regulation we got. That's what we got to live by right now.
That's exactly correct. I tell people, you know, they come in and they're frustrated, you know, and I'm like, hey, I don't make the law. I just abide by it. You know what I mean? So that's just what we got to do. So, you know, I lobbied for 12 inches. You know, maybe you should have made the meeting is what I say. You know?
Well, you know, the other problem is I'm also hearing from the people that was already decided. Yeah. But I'm also hearing from the people with the only two over 20 inches. They got people fishing out of venison. Every fish they catch is over 20 inches. So they make that long run, fish all day, and they got two fish.
Well, that's the second thing I was going to say. So you got two strikes against you here, and when you have to leave bigger fish to go look for smaller fish, I mean, I would imagine as being a guide, and I'm not one, but I know a lot of these guys, and I can guarantee you that it's got to be really frustrating, especially for those Carter boys down there in Venice.
Yeah, right.
They're some of the best in the business, you know, Brandon and Johnny, great fishermen, and I know that they run across this all the time, you know. So, the guys that we have around here, I mean, they seeing it all the time. So it is frustrating, but look, again, we don't make the law. We just got to abide by it, and we'll see how this works out in the next couple of years. Maybe we could talk to Jeff Landry and maybe make a change or two somewhere along the line. But, you know, for right now, Don, this is the hand we dealt, and that's what right. We're going to have to do, just live by that. So,
you know, one of my suggestions
–
One, I was going
to
say,
Robbie,
I was going to say one of my suggestions was zones with different sizes, you know, where you have areas where you have a tendency to catch those bigger fish, allow more to be kept, and then in areas where you're catching a lot of the small fish like Lafitte and sometimes Grand Isle, you know, let them keep a little smaller fish there, and then have another zone out by the west, you know, where, by Calcasieu, where they got a little bigger fish. And they didn't want to hear that. They said enforcement would be a nightmare, and, you know, it would take more studies to determine exactly what limit should be placed in what zone. But we've got zones for everything else. Duck zones, we got deer zones, we got shrimp zones, you know. So why not fish
zones?
And maybe they'll reconsider. We'll see. We got to give it a chance, and we'll see what happens with them.
You're right. So if you're coming down this morning, look, make hook the left at the bridge and come and see us. We got plenty of bait. We're waiting on them people to show up, so come on down and come and see us at Camp Oates. We're waiting on you.
You're always on the left, huh, Robbie? Never changes.
That's right.
Been there for almost 100 years, huh?
121, be
121.
Exact.
121, wow. Where's the time go, huh? All right, Rob, thanks for the report, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you next Saturday, Don. Bye-bye.
There he goes, Robbie Campo. Stop in and see him or give him a call. Robbie Campo at Campo's Marina. All right, coming back after this. Okay, we got some text messages coming in. Love to hear from you. 504-260-1870. If you don't mind, give us your first name at least and where you're calling from. We're back after this. All right, comments, questions, your freezer inventory for fish and game, and also, how's the new speckled trout regulations working out for you? You happy with them? Wish it hadn't changed, or would you hope it had changed for something else? The text line number is 504-260-1870. And let's get to some of them now. The Steel Man, he's up early checking in. He's a regular. He said, smalls and he are going to hunt for reds in a classified area based on good intel. Okay, sounds like some clandestine-type fishing there. We can't divulge his area. But anyway, good luck to him and T-Jim. Big Burr is going to be doing solid work they put in yesterday at Gaydon. I guess that's on the deer and geese blinds. And however, the photos from last night leads him to believe there will be a few hands down this morning. Uh-oh. Yeah, that has a tendency to happen at some of the camps. All right, Captain Ross L. checking in, says fishing was hot this week as usual. Oh, it was hot temperature as usual, but it was good. Dad L. is in Panama City doing some offshore fishing. Hope he's listening. Good luck, Pops. Go get him. And here's one that says, my freezer needs some Gulf and marsh meat stock, something bad. I got to get on the water soon. And, well, that's not the way we hoped it would work. We hope you had an overabundance so you could make a donation to the Hunters for the Hungry. But, you got to get it first. And we got our buddy Wingbone over in Alabama. He's listening to the show. He's got a cup of coffee, and he's already up at work sanding in one of those Wingbone calls. That's our buddy Wingbone. And we got this one, Mr. Don. Are people like me who stopped hunting eligible for some of that wild game food giveaway? Not exactly. It's not designed for people who no longer hunt. It's designed for the less fortunate, the people who are down and out and need food and get food through food banks, like Second Harvest or the food bank of Greater Baton Rouge, those kind of places. And if you qualify for that, certainly, you know, you can get in the list to get some. And it's a real treat for them to get this because, as all of you know, you don't go in the store and buy wild game. It's illegal. And to have wild game given to you by someone who spent their hard-earned dollars in time to go get it is a real treat. And it's on the cookouts I've been on, and when we go out and serve these people at the food banks, believe me, they are very, very appreciative to get it. But, you know, if you qualify for it through a food bank, you can get it. But other than that, they're looking for it to work the other way. Now, here's one that says, my freezer needs Gulf and Marsh meat. Stock something bad. I got to get on the water soon. That's Ben in Ponchatoula. Looks like we got more people needing fish and game than ready to donate it. Here's one from the River Rat checking in with us with a good morning. Thanks for what you do. All right, River Rat, thank you. All right, coming up next week, as I mentioned earlier, if you heard, I'm going to talk to Darryl Carpenter more about this because I know he and I have fished this area, and they're going to be creating a reef, artificial reef, down in Grand Isle. They're going to do it on Wednesday. I'm talking about the Coastal Conservation Association. And a very generous donor, Todd Graves, the owner and founder of Raising Cane's, he's donating $100,000 to CCA that will help build and install this reef. And it's all going to be done on Wednesday. Our Bayou Wild TV crew will be there on the boat. You'll hear from probably Madison Sheehan, the head of the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. She will be there. Todd Graves is going to be there, representatives from the Coastal Conservation Association. So a new fishing spot in Grand Isle. We'll talk to Darryl more about its location and what it might be expected to produce. All right, also of interest to you deer hunters, have you ever shot a deer with velvet antlers? And, you know, the deer have soft antlers during this time of year. They regrow their antlers each year. They shed them. They drop them after the winter. And then they grow new and hopefully larger antlers. And they stay in velvet until they scrape the velvet off as the antler turns hard. It gets like a bone. Well, they have a special velvet season in Mississippi, the opportunity to take a deer when it still has its antlers in velvet. They schedule it early when they're still in velvet. And you can get them in October during the early bow season, but usually about that time they start scraping off the velvet. And the in fact, you'll see some of them, they've got these strings of velvet hanging off their antlers. Anyway, September 13th through 15th, it's a short season, it's on private lands only, and you can get one legal buck. Depending on the legal buck is determined by the unit you hunt in. Mississippi has four different units, and it's either 12-inch spread, 10-inch spread, or you can take any buck in one particular area. But it's one per day, and it's archery only. You can use a longbow, a recurve, a compound, and a crossbow. But it has to be archery. You need a special permit in addition to your other licenses. If you're a resident, it's only $10. If you're a non-resident, it's $100 for your velvet deer permit. And there's also a mandatory harvest reporting you've got to do, similar to what happens here in Louisiana, and also a mandatory CWD, chronic wasting disease testing. You have to drop it off at a participating taxidermist within 5 days of the harvest to check it for CWD. Those are the parameters. If you want to get in on a velvet deer hunt, that's a good opportunity. It's in Mississippi, and you can find out more information on the Mississippi Department of Wildlife, Fisheries, and Parks website. All right, coming back, going to tell you, hey, ladies, if you want to get out and learn how to fish, if your husband or boyfriend won't teach you, we got somebody at the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries that will. They got a couple of workshops coming up that could lead to a special overnight weekend fishing trip for you. We'll tell you about it when we come back after this timeout. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, checking on our text message board, our communication with our listeners. We got the Backstrap Stacker checking in from Bama. He's headed up to knock down some grass at the camp during this little dry spell. Yeah, if you got a spot that stays a little sloppy and muddy and you got to do some trimming on it, this little dry spell we've had has kind of knocked it out. In fact, yesterday when I got up, it was incredibly light humidity and a little bit cool. It was like 71 degrees, and I was saying, whoa, where did I wake up this morning? And it gives you just that little bit of hint of fall, which kind of gets you pumped up for the hunting season. Go get it back, Strapper. Get your work done. We also have this one. Good morning, Don. We'll be heading to Grand Isle to deliver some offshore weights to Bent Rods Offshore Fishing Charters, Sinkers by the Pound, LLC. All right, Bent Rods guys, you got some sinkers coming down there. Be ready for them. All right, we're going to pause 10 seconds for our local stations to identify. And on the way back, we're going to get back to the text message and also tell you ladies about some free fishing workshops for you. We'll be back to do that. But first, we let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, coming up next month, the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fish Fisheries is going to be presenting two Women's Fishing 101 workshops. Now, these are open to any ladies over the age of 18. There will be department biologists and volunteer instructors. They will train 15 women per event. Things like fish identification, best fish handling practices, preparing your fishing equipment, basic fishing skills, as well as cleaning, storing, and cooking fish. Now, the participants will be randomly selected from the workshops, as this was considered the fall. There'll be another one in the spring of next year, and they'll pick some ladies who will get a chance to go on an overnight weekend fishing trip under the direction of the biologists and the volunteer instructors next summer. So here are your workshop dates for the fall. Saturday, September 7th from 9 to 4:30. That's at Wadeel Wildlife Refuge right there in Baton Rouge, and there are some fish in that lake. They keep it pretty well stocked. And then again on Saturday, November the 2nd, 9 to 4:30, same place, Wadeel. And if you would like to apply for that, easiest way I can tell you to do it is go on the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries website, look under fishing, get the drop down for fishing, then go to recreational fishing, and then under that you'll see another icon for fishing workshops, and the registration information's there. Now, they can only take 15 participants for each of these dates. So looking at that, your chances of getting selected by random to go on that overnight weekend fishing trip next summer are pretty good. So these are great programs. I've seen what they do. And for someone who has just never fished before, and I get a lot of that, and I'll tell you, some women take this course because they've got kids. They might be a single mom, and they've got kids that want to fish, and they don't even know the first thing about where to go, how to get started. This is the perfect opportunity for you. So take advantage of it. It's put on by Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. Again, it's Saturday, September 7th, and again on November 2nd, it'll be held at Wadeel Wildlife Refuge, which is pretty much within the city limits of Baton Rouge. All right, getting back to the text board. Let's see, we got the dad, Ross L. He is listening. He says, thanks for the reminder. He cleans out the freezer every year for this great cause. And of course, he's talking about our clean out your freezer day or days. And we're going to be talking to Julie Grunwald, the director for Hunters for the Hungry, which is the organization that puts it on. And I don't care if you're listening to us in Shreveport, Acadiana, Monroe, Natchitoches, New Orleans, Houma, St. Francisville, there are drop-off locations all over the state. I'll be at the one in Slidell, and that's going to be next Sunday, the 18th. I'll be at Rouse's. It's on Gauze Boulevard in Slidell from 1 to 4, and there'll be people like me at all of these stations. Stop by, and we'll talk a little bit hunting and fishing and drop off your wild game and seafood from your freezer, or you can purchase food products. They'll accept food products, and you can just drop them off if you don't happen to have any fish or game to share. All right, we got some more text coming in. This is from Nuck Chorus. That guy sounds familiar. I think I may know him, Nuck Chorus. Anyway, he is heading to Baton Rouge's oldest park. He's going to be tightlining for some catfish and fishing for some brim. There's a nice shady spot there. Boy, it sounds like a good way to spend a Saturday morning, Nuck. Good luck to you. And here's one that says, don't open the water diversion and let Gulf water get to intercoastal, and you really have to look for fish, oysters, brown shrimp. I've never seen dolphin in the bays and far in before now. 80 years talking. Yep, the dolphins have moved in with the saltwater intrusion. No doubt about that. They're working in a lot closer. Dolphins and pelicans, that's pretty much the two. And sharks, that's the pet predators that you have to try to avoid when you're releasing fish. And by the way, on that catch and release, we've been working on some catch and release tips that will begin airing on Bayou Wild TV. We've done it in conjunction with the Coastal Conservation Association. Just some reminders and some maybe some revelations to some people about how to care for fish, because it's more important now than ever since we've got tighter regulations and higher size limits and slot limits, and more fish have to be released, and it's very important to make sure those fish swim to bite and fight another day. All right, coming back after this, we got another fishing report coming your way. Stick around. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. Now it's time for our fishing report with Captain Kirk from Hackberry Rod and Gun, and he joins us now live from the dining area at Hackberry Rod and Gun. And Kirk, what kind of crowd you got down there this morning getting ready to go fishing?
We have a full house this morning.
a church group out of Bernie, Texas is here. And, this today is day number three for them. And they've been catching a few fish. We're not sinking the boats with them, but it's been good enough to make everybody happy.
Well, let me ask you this. When you woke up yesterday morning, did you have the little tease of fall down there like I did over here?
We did. This morning, there's more of it.
Really?
Yeah, we got to have a northeast wind blowing probably about 8 to 10 right now. The temperature is 80 degrees, but there's no humidity. It's nice. It feels real nice.
If the temperature was 40 degrees lower, this would be December, you know?
You're right.
Well, what kind of fish did they catch, and how'd they catch them?
They're mainly fishing, catching mostly trout. Not many redfish right now at all. But it's all on the lower end of Calcasieu. Around the jetties and up north for up to about the ferry, the old river area, is where most of the fish are being caught. The jetties probably the best spot, and some of the guys are coming in, saying they're catching theirs on live shrimp. Others, another one will come in said he caught all his on down south lures on a 3/16 ounce jig head, and another will come in say he caught his on the marker 54 glider shrimp.
Yeah, that's one of the hot baits going on right now. There's been some complaints over on the east side that people are just releasing so many of these fish under 13. Are y'all having a problem with that on your end?
Look, there's tons of 12 to 13 inches we're having to catch and throw back. And the deal is the dolphin are so bad, not one fish you release gets away alive. Not one.
That's disheartening to hear that. I'm kind of wondering if we, trying to preserve something and doing more harm than good by releasing them back in there. I mean, you can't avoid.
In the area we're fishing right now, you're doing more harm. I mean, I've never seen dolphin like they are. Every boat's going to have a half dozen, 10 dolphin around their boat, catching the fish they release. Now, in the lake, it's not bad. Mm-hmm. It's just down there on the jetties and in the beach, even on the beachfront.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how it works out. I guess time will tell whether they've made the right decision by going to that 13-inch or if they should have kept it at 12. We'll see the results. But there are plenty of small fish out there all over the state. That's what I'm hearing.
There's tons of small fish. I mean, you hear everybody coming in and you say they caught, 75, 100 fish. You could keep 20.
Right.
So we're hearing that every day. So
on another species, when's your next run on flounder coming?
Probably October when they close the season.
that seems to be the way it works, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, they close it for a reason. That's when they make their run to go spawn. And, and of course, it's the prime time to catch them, and you can't keep any. That's from at least we're able to catch the tail end of the run because – they close at the end of November, and if it stays relatively warm and don't get a big flood, you'll catch flounder into about mid-December.
Yeah, and after that, they're headed out for parts unknown. To see any of those little birds with the iridescent blue wings flying around, or is it still too early?
No, I wouldn't be surprised if some of the guys don't come in today and say they've seen some. It's time for them. Usually, August, we get that first little front. You're going to see them. They're going to be coming through. I saw two a couple of weeks ago, but nobody, any big reports of many birds showing up.
Yeah, well, that's a welcome sight when we do see it. Well, Kirk, you guys have a unique situation. You keep a camera on the table down there so people real time can see what's coming in. Tell people how to access that.
Well, you can go to our website. And that's Hackberry Rod and Gun. You spell out and.com, and you just log in, and you can see it. We have two different cameras that show the dock down there. And, it's real time. You can see what's happening.
All right. And if people want to call you and check on some dates, school's getting back in, and people are going to be looking on primarily for some weekend trips now as summer's kind of wrapping up. Tell them how to get a hold of you by telephone.
Okay. For people out of the area, it's toll-free. It's 888-762-3391.
And they can also check on availability for the duck seasons, because I'm sure you're filling up the books already.
Yeah, we are. We're filling up good. I mean, we're looking forward to a good duck season. The marshes are in excellent shape right now with all the rain we've had this year. I mean, there's a lot of duck food in the marsh.
A lot of grass. That's some good news. Kirk, thanks for the report. As always, y'all have fun with the church group, and we'll catch up with you next time for another report.
All right. Well, thank you. Good talking to you as always. You have a great show, Don.
Thank you much, Kirk. We appreciate it. It's Captain Kirk, Hackberry Rod and Gun. All right, got a couple more text messages just coming in. This one wants to know, how's the fishing in Bayou Sonnet? Anybody been fishing Bayou Sonnet over there near Lafitte lately? Let us know. It's on the west bank of New Orleans. Got some pretty good freshwater action there on occasions. Let me know, 504-260-1870. That's our text line. Also got this one in from Robbie from Chalmette. Not the same Robbie at Campos. It's a different Robbie. They're heading to Bayou Bienvenue, fished a great wall. Send me a report next week on how you did, Robbie. We'd appreciate it. All right, when we come back, we got another fishing report coming your way. We're going to check in with Darrell Carpenter, Grand Isle. Grand Isle's getting a new fishing reef next week, and we'll be down there to document it with Bayou Wild. And eventually, Darrell might get a chance to go fish on it. We'll get him to tell you about it and more about Grand Isle fishing if you're interested in headed down to Louisiana's largest island. And we're back to do it. But first, these words on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. And let's take it on down to Grand Isle, where we go each and every week. We talk to our buddy, Darrell Carpenter of RealScreamers.com. Good morning, Darrell. We're going to be down there on Wednesday for the reef construction and dedication. Todd Graves, Raising Cane's, coming up with $100,000 to help build and install this artificial reef. And I believe the name of the place is El Cid. And I think you and I fished there before. Tell us about it.
Oh, yeah, Don. Probably one of the most memorable trips that you'll remember we had there is where we had cast netted a bunch of live pogies. And, in fact, Rad Thrasher and them were fishing the boat in front of us and wasn't catching anything. We sat there, had our quick little limit, and then gave them the pogies we had left. And the story I heard later was that was the bait of the day because they ended up with a limit of trout also right after we left. You'll probably remember that trip.
Oh, I remember it very well. That was a great day we had out there, and I think this reef is only going to help that situation out there. And I believe you're involved in this in some kind of way. Are they coming to launch their boats by you or something?
Not that I'm aware of. Todd used to be one of my best customers, but he's kind of gotten into that philanthropy work, and I hadn't seen him in a while. But I mean, heck, they're more than welcome to. That's for sure. Sid's going to be a great reef. I like the way they're doing that. You know, because now what they're doing, it seems like their last couple of reefs, what they've done is they've looked for natural features that just aren't there anymore, mm-hmm. and they're putting them on those natural features, which is really attracting fish like that Independence Island reef. It's the most productive reef probably they've ever put down. And Sid's going to be the same way. The only problem with Sid is Sid being right on that waterway. I've heard your show this morning is there's probably some of the most aggressive dolphins I've ever seen hanging out around Sid, and it's going to be a real issue, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Are you in Grand Isle? Are the fishermen having the same issues with just tons and tons of these small undersized fish that have to be released and a lot of them being sacrificed either due to mishandling or the predators, the sharks, the pelicans, and the dolphins gobbling them up?
Yeah, I mean, it would be a broken record. In fact, that was part of my testimony during the trout regulations is, you know, they should have gone more basin specific with this. L.A. Creel has the ability to do it. They just didn't want to. As soon as they bumped it up to 13, everybody on Grand Isle had the same concern. And, you know, we saw it before the regulation change. Our predator rate is so high down here that, you know, there's very few of those 12-inch fish that are making it whenever, you know, those 12, 13-inch fish, whenever you throw them back, very, very few are surviving. And, it's a problem. And in the last 3 weeks, the sharks have shown up. So, you know, now we got them coming from both directions.
Well, at least the good news is there's fish out there to be caught. At least you're catching them. Now, whether you're releasing them or putting them back on the ice, that's another matter there.
Well, Don, you know, this past week has been a little bit of a challenge because of the different weather scenarios we had going on. But the good thing is as long as it's got enough north in it or enough south in it, we're able to accommodate because of the way the island is. So this past week, most of our fishing has been out on the front, which has been really good. And, you know, the 12-inch thing hasn't been that big of a problem, or the 13-inch limit hadn't been that big of a problem, because what we found Yesterday, our water temperature topped out at 93 degrees. I mean, it was as hot as a sun, you know, as a hot tub. So those fish are trying to go deep on us, especially the trout. They're trying to go deep. So, you know, we've been catching our fish on the beach, but out in the second and third trough to where they're in 8 to 10 feet of water. We're still having to deal with the sharks tremendously. Of course, the dolphins are just everywhere. But they've been good fish. It's just whether or not you can lay down enough cover fire, so to speak, you know, throwing weights and everything else at the predators to get them to the boat before they eat them.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to take some thought to try to overcome that particular problem, but I know it's extremely bad in a lot of areas. Darryl, talk about that hot water. I was fishing last weekend. We fished out of Sycamore Point, 60 miles out. It was 91 degrees at Gulf water temperature. The fish are almost parboiled when you bring them up. So best tip of the day is fish deep, man, because those fish got to find that comfort zone somewhat anyway.
Yeah, well, like I said, Don, the fish that we've been catching, you know, and this week whenever we went out there hunting for those trout, we found that every one of them, I mean, probably the shallowest we caught anything was 6.5 feet, but most of them have been 8 feet or deeper, 8 to 10 feet. And, of course, the live bait's a challenge right now. Trying to keep it alive in 93-degree water, your shrimp are balling in the live well. So even yesterday, we ran some shrimp trips yesterday, and I noticed that, you know, once we pulled the bag up and dumped the bag in the picking box, there wasn't a whole lot of activity. It wasn't like those shrimp were jumping around everywhere. It's so hot that you do anything that breaks their normal routine and you're pretty much killing them. So, you know, it's just a challenge. Right now, you got to fish a lot of plastic, which is no problem. If you put some confidence in plastic and spend some time with it and learn it, plastic out catches live probably 60-70% of the time. And you're talking, like I said, that's coming from somebody that sells live bait. So, I mean, you know, it's just putting the time in and getting confident with it.
Somebody wants to put time in with you, give them the telephone number.
225-937-6288.
And realscreamers.com is the website. Thanks for the report, Darryl.
Yes,
y'all have a great day. Enjoy this little north wind while we got it.
Well, it kind of messed me up this morning. It's blowing a little harder than it was supposed to, but we're about to go try it.
Give it a shot. All right, we'll be back right after this pause with more of the Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, 1 hour down, one to go. Thanks for making us part of your Saturday morning. If you're heading into the great outdoors, or maybe you're just kind of taking it easy, relaxing the weekend and laying in the bed and listening to the radio program, great way to do it. Well, what you're going to hear, we're going to be talking to Julie Grunwald. She's the executive director of Hunters for the Hungry. The Clean Out Your Freezer days are approaching very shortly, and we'll tell you how you can donate some of your fish and game and seafood and to the cause. And also, I want you to inventory your freezer. How's it looking in there? You full up? You got to move some out to make room for the new catches and new game that you'll be getting these hunting seasons? Let me know. 504-260-1870. We also have got our regular bad boy features. It's four Florida guys who are charged with a conspiracy to hoodwink some out-of-state hunters, and in doing so endangered an entire subspecies of wild game. We'll tell you about that. They're facing thousands of dollars in fines and possible jail time, which I think would be well warranted for these bozos. All right, we also got fishing reports coming your way from Captain Mike Gallo, Paddler's Report with Brendan Bayard, and we'll be checking in with our buddy Ryan Lambert down at the tip of the boot at Cajun Fishing Adventures. Speaking of Cajun Fishing Adventures, I got this in. There's going to be a fundraiser for a lady named Stephanie who is battling cancer for the fourth time, and this is going to be held September the 14th at Mike Bruno Harley-Davidson in Baton Rouge. They're going to have auctions, car shows, a bike show, a Jeep show, food show, band show, all kind of shows. And the highlight of this event is going to be an auction fishing trip at Cajun Fishing Adventures, and you hear about them every week with Ryan Lambert. You're going to get lodging and an eco tour. How about that? And a fishing trip. Great cause, and you could get a good deal for yourself. So remember that. That's going to be at Mike Bruno Harley-Davidson, Baton Rouge, September the 14th. Also got this text in. This one says, Don, I love the fish, but not as much as I love my wife. Happy 50th anniversary, honey, from the Big Man Bassin. Well, I hope Mrs. Big Man Bassin is listening. And by the way, it's your golden anniversary. What's the surprise? Maybe we'll find out. All right, here's one from Big Mike on Bayou Liberty. Got a lot of small, I think he meant to say white trout. Trout was left out, but something small and white is in the bayou. The bass are going crazy there, and plenty of small specks, which we've been getting a lot of reports on. And he wants to remind us about the Monday evening bass tournament at Bayou Liberty. Big Mike, I don't know if it was you, Mike, or someone else mentioned they're going to be doing kayak rentals at the marina there on Bayou Liberty. If you know any more about that, or maybe whoever's coordinating that, maybe you could put them in touch with me, because I know a lot of our kayak listeners are going to be interested. That's where they hold the Bayou Liberty P-Rug races. Great, great paddling area, by the way. So maybe I can get some more information to pass along. All right, we got a question from Elliot. Wants to know how the Seabrook Bridge fishing is for white or speckled trout. Normally, Elliot, in years past, boy, that used to be prime time for it, but the hydrology's changed. Maybe somebody who's fished there can send us a report and let us know. 504-260-1870 is that text line. If you want to shoot us a text and check in with us, a question, comment, if you got a fishing report to share like Big Mike does, we'd love to hear from you. We'll put that in with our other field reporters' reports. All right, so there it is. We got a full hour of information coming your way. Back with Captain Mike Gallo. He is born on the bayou and fishes a number of places, Lake Bourne, Lake Pontchartrain, Lake Catherine, the Mr. Go, the bridge, and in fact, he fishes somewhat on that northern Biloxi Marsh, and boy, he gets a lot of good redfish action there. Back with his report right after this. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. When you're out boating on the water, fishing or skiing or pleasure boating, how would you like to have some backup? I'm talking about somebody who will come bring you fuel if you run short, come tow you if you have an engine breakdown, if you just need an electrical start, they'll come out there and jump you and get you running back on the water, whatever it needs to keep you safe on the water. Well, it is a reality, and it's called CETOW. It's peace of mind, mostly, knowing that someone's standing by 24/7, doesn't matter what time of day or night. If you ever need help on the water, they are there. $249 will get you for an entire year membership. It's renewable every year after that. And the way to get it is call Captain Chris at 504-301-4545. That's 301-4545. Or if you want to do it online, that's even easier. Just go to CETOW.com and he'll get you signed up. Captain Mike Gallo joins us now. And, Mike, are you already on the water to beat the heat, or are you still at the Spots and Dots Lake House?
Oh, Don, there's going to be no fishing for me today. Too much heat and not enough tide, so I elected to schedule my trip a little later in the week when the tide comes back.
Oh, okay. Well, are you going to be hanging around the lodge today?
I may be headed that way for a little bit first thing in the morning.
Well, I'm going to be over there about 10 o'clock. I'm meeting the TV crew from WYES, Public Broadcasting. We're going to be taping, as you know, the recipe. We're going to be cooking for them there at your lodge on next Tuesday. And the TV crew wanted to do a pre-shoot survey of the site. We're going to go check out the site and get things set up. They want to get a handle on how to set things up when we get out there so we'll be prepared. So if you're going to be around there, we'll see you.
Well, maybe I'll adjust my plans a little bit to come by and shake your hand.
Well, and then next week, whoever your crew is, maybe we'll leave some of those game bird pepper poppers we're going to be cooking around for them to dine on after their trip, a little snack for them.
Sounds well, good.
Yeah, I saw the tide, 0.4. That's not good, and it's hot. So, you know, a lot of people don't opt to go fishing during those times, but I'm sure you got to fish some during the week. Did those switch around variable winds give you any problems?
Not really, Don. The heat that we've had seemingly the last month has really got the fish in deeper water. That seems to be the theme with all your field reporters. We're fortunate in the Wrigley's area. They have quite a few areas that have very deep water. Wrigley's Pass is deep. Unknown Pass is deep. Catherine Pass. Even Miller's Bayou's got some deep areas in it. So those areas are pretty safe from any wind direction, unless it's, you know, straight down the pass itself. But the north wind was not a problem at all. It was kind of welcomed. Felt pretty good early in the morning. And we just staged up on some of those deeper areas, live shrimp or even plastics on the bottom. And we've been catching a variety of mostly trout and mostly white trout with a few speckled trout mixed in. There's the occasional sheephead, black drum, even a redfish or a flounder may find its way into your box.
Mike, you experiencing the same situation as some of our other areas with the enormous amount of small, undersized fish that have to be released with regard to the new speckled trout regulations?
Yeah, Don, there's quite a few trout that are 12 inches or over, but under 13. And it's a great opportunity to educate our fishermen on, you know, the importance of releasing those fish, because those fish are mature enough to spawn, and they will, if released safely, they will spawn again and give us even more fish in the future.
Yeah, and we want to thank you for working with us on producing those commercials, those public service announcements on behalf of CCA with some proper catch and release techniques, because I think that can go a long way. And just, if nothing else, just making the public aware that, you know, just because you got one fish and you're releasing it, when you multiply that out times the 600,000 fishermen that are out there, that certainly adds up on the number of fish, and it's a good conservation move to take as much care as you can to get that fish released to fight another day and become someone else's keeper fish a little bit later on. Mike, moving on to redfish, what would you suggest somebody looking for a redfish on a low tide, hot water day like today?
Actually, same thing applies, Don. You'll want to move to some larger bayous that are relatively deep, and you'll fish the secondary edge or the first drop off along those deeper bayous, and those redfish will get in deeper water that's moving, where they can try to stay cool, have good amounts of oxygen, and still get some, you know, still have the opportunity to feed. But they'll definitely move out of that hot water that just gets too hot, and when it does heat up like that, it doesn't have as much oxygen.
Got it. Anybody doing anything at the bridges right now? You know, that's deep water, but this time of the year, it has a tendency to slow down. Although, if you're looking for the mixed bag, the sheephead and the drum and maybe some freshwater catfish and mix in a few white trout and make a nice box, what's the story on the bridges?
Well, what my pattern is, you know, first thing in the morning, we'll try hitting the deeper passes that we talked about earlier. And then if that slows down or we catch enough, obviously we head in. If not, and we want to try to put some sheephead or drum in the box, we head for the shade of the bridges, and we'll fish in the shade. And that shade will also attract fish where they can get out of that sunlight, and the water will be a little bit cooler feeling. You know how it is for us. Just walking in the shade, it feels cooler. And it seems like it's the same for the fish. And we like to fish the front edge of the shade. So we think the fish sit in the darker water, and as the current brings the bait to them, it provides an ambush.
All right, now you've been keeping an eye on the marsh across the street over there for me, haven't you, for the little blue wings flying around?
I have yet to see any, but I would imagine soon, especially with the north wind and a little bit cooler humidity or lower humidity and a little cooler temperatures in the morning, I would expect pretty soon we start seeing some.
Well, I know you've been seeing the whistling ducks, because they pretty much stay there almost year-round now.
Well, those are smart. They know Louisiana's paradise. Why leave?
Yeah, you got it right. Well, Mike, somebody wants to get in on the list there and get a trip booked for their crew if they want to come in from out of town and stay at the lodge, or if they're just looking for a quick day trip. I got you on my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com, with a link to yours, AAofLA.com. Give them the telephone number if they want to give you a call. And first of all, ask, because a lot of people have questions about fishing. You know, what type of gear? How far do we run? All those kind of questions you guys get, and you can answer them. What number should they call to reach you?
We'll certainly answer any question that you may have. The number is 985-781-7811.
All right. Hope to see you down there sometime, either today or next week at the lodge. Take care, and thanks for the report, as always.
Sounds good, Don. Hope to see you soon.
All right. Captain Mike Gallo, Angling Adventures of Louisiana. All right. Coming up next, if you like to go paddling in a kayak, a canoe, a P-Row for your fish, Brendan Bayard joins us. He's got lots of tips for you and also some information about some new, one new event that's coming up and also one that's been around a long time. It's called Ride the Bull, special event going on there too as far as capturing some bull reds to spawn and begin Louisiana's first ever redfish restocking, and we'll be there to document it. Coming back with Brendan right after this pause on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. And, well, I think we have the only exclusive paddler's report maybe in the state or in the country. We do it with the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club and a wonderful sponsor by the name of Massey's Outfitters, and I hope you'll join them in three locations, Mid-City, New Orleans. They're also in Baton Rouge and got one on the North Shore in Covington, and you're going to find Hobies and Jackson Craft, Native Watercraft, some of the finest fishing models you'll ever see, and lots of products and accessories, and they put on those demo days where you can try before you buy, and if you call them and ask when their next demo day, or check it out on their website or their Facebook page at MasseyOutfitters.com, you can request a certain model that you'd like to try, and they'll be sure and put you in it. Joining us now is Brendan Bayard. He's one of our paddling reporters. And, Brendan, going to be busy time on the west side of the state for paddlers. Got a lot of pre-fishing going to be going on. Why will they be doing that?
Yeah, Don, we have a new series coming out next weekend. It's the Hobie Saltwater Series, and they are going to partner with different clubs around the country for launching that. And the first one we have within kind of our area is the Cajun Castaway, hosted by our sister club over there, Lafayette Kayak Fishing Association, and they will be having that event next Saturday. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people over there pre-fishing, checking out all the different areas. You know, probably a lot of people down in West Cove fishing the Ship Channel with this really slow tide we got today. But those fish have been, you know, in that Ship Channel area on those like 12-foot ledges right there pretty consistently over the last, 3 weeks or so, since mid-July, and flounder are always kind of around there, and then just go up into the marsh or on the edges where those canals dump into those bigger bays over there, and catching redfish. So pattern is what it normally is, and people are catching. You just got to put together the right fish for next weekend and get that slam, and you can go walk away with a new Hobie Lynx that they're giving away for all these events.
So is this catch, photo, and release, or is this a fish bring-the-fish-in tournament?
This is a bring-the-fish-in tournament.
All right, and it's a slam, so that means redfish, trout, and flounder. Where will people be able to sign up? And I understand there's a meeting next Friday night, and then the weigh-in's going to be Saturday. Is that both at the same location?
Yeah, the you sign up on the Facebook page for the Lafayette Kayak Fishing Club, and the captain's meeting and the weigh-in will be over at Crying Eagle Brewery in Lake Charles. So that'll be a good time, no matter if you skunk.
Yeah, I may have some adult. I'm pretty sure they'll have some adult beverages around there. That's good news. All right, catching crabs from a kayak, where and how?
I have been catching crabs, but I haven't been catching them from a kayak. I usually, have the kids or the family with me. We go out to the beach over the Elmers, just spread out some lines, and then take turns in the kayaks going out and catching trout. And, somebody stays and works the lines. And the crabs have been running pretty good in the morning, especially when there's a high tide coinciding with the morning. It's a good time of year to get out there and fill up your ice chest if you want to make your little crab boil. And, catching some nice trout, too. You kind of got to weed through a few of them. There's a lot of small ones out there, but, getting lots of catching lots of fish is pretty easy. It's just, filling your limit with sizable ones is a little tough this time of year as, you have some fish transitioning in to the bigger bays kind of in the interior. It kind of seems like it happens every year about July. Some of those bigger fish kind of start heading inside, and then you're left with like a million, 10 to, 14-inch trout along the beach, and that's kind of what we're seeing.
All right, Ride the Bull coming up in 2 weeks. The big one, the bull reds for a sleigh ride in Caminata Pass out of Bridgeside Marina. How do people sign up, and what's the outlook for the bull reds? Are they there now?
Yeah, we're catching bull reds. Today with the real slack tide, I'm not exactly sure if they're going to be stacked up anywhere. They just might be all over the place. I would try you know, maybe seeing the bridge pilings and seeing if they hold some structure or something like that right now if you're fishing out there. You know, it's always a great time to go out there and catch a bunch of bull reds and have fun doing it with a bunch of people in almost like a party atmosphere. You know, you don't need much to catch a bull red. You just need kind of you can catch one on a light tackle. It's a little bit better to bring a bigger piece of tackle and get them into the boat quicker because, you know, during Ride the Bull, you're going to have a lot of people around you. You don't want your line to get tangled up with people around you. But just crank on that drag and, you know, bring you some 50-pound test and you can whip them up into the boat in, you know, under 3 minutes if you really crank on them.
It's better for the
good times coming.
Yeah, it's better for the survivability of the fish, too. Lastly, you got some information on tarpon running over there in the Florida area?
Yeah, my good friend Brandon over there in the Emerald Coast area has been uploading a lot of drone shots. He's been out chasing tarpon. So if you are in the area over there in the Panhandle and want to chase tarpon, this is the time of year, usually about mid-July until now, they start teetering off. But, you know, he's seeing some packs of, you know, 4 to 6 tarpon running along the beach early in the morning. This is just kind of that Perdido area. Just go out and, you know, you'll see bait balls and just kind of, you have to be mindful and just kind of watch right past the breakers. And you'll see them come through if you're patient. So,
it'll take your breath away.
Best
place
Eric
to put a kayak.
One, I remember.
Yes, he did. Best place to put a kayak in over there.
I usually go over to Navarre and put down, they have the whole National Seashore. They don't have a pass over there. But if you want to go to the Perdido area, there's a park right there past the bridge at Perdido on the Florida side, if you will, of the pass. And you can just get some wheels and go past the jetty so you're not fighting that current that goes in and out and launch out there.
Good little trip. Brendan, thanks so much for the report. We appreciate it. Good luck on your tournaments, and we'll catch up with you next time.
All right. I'll give you a report next time. Thanks.
Yeah, should be down at Ride the Bull. Okay, when we come back after this, it's bad boy time, and, we got 4 of them. Looks like they went on a conspiracy. We got their story next. It's right here on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we try to get to all of the texts. This one's in from my friend David in Mobile. He says he woke up hungry this morning, and he's doing a few creative projects he's working on, and he's still thinking about the gumbo talk I had with Uncle Larry yesterday. Yeah, I've been filling in on WWL, our flagship station, 870 a.m. For Tommy Tucker, the morning drive host, and I got one more day to go. Monday I'll be back on and filling in for him from 6 to 10, and we talked with Uncle Larry about gumbo, all things about gumbo. And today David's going to be trying Lucio Arfanella's recipe for shrimp and cucuza. Around here we call it gugutza. And David says it sounds delicious. Let me know how it comes out. Maybe send me some pictures, Dave. I'd love to see it. All right, here's another text coming in from one of our regulars, and he went fishing. This is Big E in Thibodeau. He went fishing at the ponds in Houma. I caught some fillet-sized pumpkin seeds. I love those pumpkin seed brim. Also some bass. He was using night crawlers under sliding bobber corks. And he also watched a grandpa help his granddaughter catch her first fish. She was so excited, and now she's hooked. I got to tell you, the grandpa-granddaughter first fish thing, I've been there and done it, and highly recommend it. All right, my friend who used to work with us, Deb over in Florida, sends this in. She says, if you read this before you bad people of the outdoors, I won't give it away. We did this story in Florida because the events that took place are within our coverage area, and when I wrote the story about the 4 being arrested, I thought this would be a great story for Don, and there it is. Okay, Deb, it's coming up right after we pause 10 seconds for our local stations to identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. On July 24th, the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission's Division of Law Enforcement announced charges against 4 individuals involved in a fraudulent scheme to defraud hunters seeking Osceola turkey hunts and charge them with multiple felonies, including organized fraud, conspiracy to commit organized fraud, cheating, and the unlawful use of a two-way communication device. The investigation revealed that Larry William Collins and his co-conspirators advertised and provided fraudulent non-wild Osceola turkey hunts to unsuspecting victims through the Razor Ranch website, and they're going to be facing thousands of dollars in fines. The victims were led to believe they were paying for a genuine Osceola turkey hunting experience, but were instead guided to hunt pen-raised turkeys bred to resemble the Osceola species. The scheme involved 64-year-old Collins of Punta Gorda, Florida, who operated the Razor Ranch Blanket Hunting Preserve in Hardy County, and 57-year-old David Mills of Arcadia, who managed a game farm in Charlotte County where the non-wild turkeys were raised. Mills and 49-year-old Paul Beckham of Punta Gorda also acted as guides, leading the hunts, while 70-year-old Vernon Flowers of Naples, owner of Skins and Scales Taxidermy, mounted the fraudulent turkeys for the victims, while Collins received 10% kickbacks from Flowers for referring the taxidermy business. In addition to defrauding and negating Hunter's Grand Slam accomplishments, this practice of interbreeding domestic with wild Osceola turkeys threatens the purity of this very unique species. And it's motivated by greed that the lowlife, 64-year-old Larry William Collins and 47-year-old Paul Beckham, both of Punta Gorda, and 57-year-old David Mills of Arcadia, and 70-year-old Vernon Flowers of Naples, our Florida bad boys of the outdoors. We'll follow up on this one. I hope they certainly get the max. Just bad all the way around. By the way, if you can use $12,500 in cash, you'll also help me get a future bad boy. Department of Wildlife and Fisheries in Louisiana and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, they're still looking for leads for whoever shot the endangered whooping crane this past January in Evangeline Parish. It's going to be a total of, you got it right, $12,500 cash offered by a number of organizations for information leading to the arrest and conviction of the person or persons who were responsible for shooting of that crane. If you do have information on it, you can call the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, or you can contact our Operation Game Thief hotline here in Louisiana. This happened on the morning of January 9th. There was a young whooping crane found dead in an agricultural pond on the south side of Bessie Lane in Mamou. And when the necropsy, which is the animal version of an autopsy, was performed, they determined the crane was shot and died from a fracture of the spine and intestinal hemorrhaging. You got information? Pick up some cash. That usually kind of smokes them out on a whooping crane. $12,500 reward. All right, coming back after this, we're going to check in with Ryan Lambert, our plastic man, find out how the fishing is down in Cajun land called Cajun Fishing Adventures in Burris. He's next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And here he is, the plastic man, live and in person, one Captain Ryan Lambert of Cajun Fishing Adventures. Ryan, I got more people sending me pictures of big trout from Venice. I talked to Captain Dudley. He went down there and caught some big trout. You getting in on any of that trout action they're catching down there below you?
No, I don't have time for it.
Oh, okay. You must have something real important going on.
Well, we're just doing our thing, you know. In order to do that, you know, where they're fishing and how they're fishing, you know, you get to keep two fish. My customers don't want that. You know, those big old trout, you know, over 20 inches, they each keep two. My guys want to go hit the reds, hit the trout, and then, you know, maybe mangroves and snappers and cobias and triple tails. And we're doing a little bit of everything, but, you know, the redfish bite is really, really good. So, yeah, they got some nice trout being caught down there for sure. And I don't know where they're at. I mean, I could go catch them, but it's something you have to want to do that, you know?
Right.
Now, if I got a customer that wants to go fishing big trout, yeah.
Yeah, you're all in. Yeah, you're all in for that, I know. But, it's all up to what you're doing in business. And, you know, so many people I know that get into your business, and you know them too, and they think they're getting into a fishing for me business, for fun.
No,
I'm going to do what I want.
It's
no, it's nothing like that. It's just entertainment and service
it's
business.
Strictly entertainment. You know, you holler them and you feed them, you show them a good time, and you go catch what they want to catch, and if they want the meat or if they want – some bull reds or some keeper reds or some trout or whatever. Well, it doesn't matter what they want. We're going to may do our best to put them on those fish. So that's what we do.
And now, they also want information. You know, you guys are teachers too.
Oh, without a doubt. People, that's why you come with a guy, not to just load the boat, but to learn. You know, they learn so many things. Like, they, wow, I would have never thought about that. Or wow, I didn't know to hold my rod like that, or to tie the hook like that, or to use that kind of technique. You know, it's, that's what you go for.
Well, they say, I didn't know you could catch fish without shrimp.
that could go a long way down there, I tell you. They got some shrimp users. You know, I saw something this week that's really strange. The water on the Gulf after that northwest wind, it cleared up crystal clear. Wow. And the fish disappeared. The bait disappeared. Everything. You could see 6 foot down, and that there was nothing in it.
That wasn't one of those deoxygenation problems, was it?
No. It
like an algae? No.
Yeah, it's, the water, I mean, it was crystal clear, and the fish disappeared. I said, boy, we're going to slaughter them right here. Nope, no bait, no fish. some catfish. But, you know, it could have been a deoxygenation deal, you know, because if the algae falls out, that's where the color comes from. But the river's coming down. The river's 4.3 and going to 2.4. So before teal season, so teal is starting to make their moves. I'm going to Noliasi this week to get my eye right, make sure that I can hit them when they get here. And
yeah, in fact, I just got a text from Mike Smith over in Delacroix. He says they've got a few teal starting to show up over there too. So
yeah, it's time, and then they're going to come on. The aquatic vegetation looks really good right now, and the duck potatoes, but it's not going to take but one big old eastern, southeaster blowing real hard at 20 with the river at 2.4 to kill a lot of it.
Yeah.
So, but the duck potatoes are there, and they're going to stay there. So it ought to be good. You know, hopefully we'll get some teal this year. You know, they've been going a little bit more west towards Texas and that. But, I mean, we get our share, but they've been really doing well in the west part. So, I don't know. We'll wait and see. The fishing's good, though.
All right. Somebody wants to get you and get on the books, tell them how to call you.
Oh, they can go to CajunFishingAdventures.com and check out the website, or they could call me on this old phone at 504-559-5111.
And you do eco-tours, too, because I got some people asking about that, and I always tell them.
Yeah, I do. I like to do that, too. You know, we have 184 species of birds in the wintertime on the east side of the river, which is more than anywhere in Louisiana. So it's a bird watcher's dream over there.
And you know what everybody wants to see when they come to Louisiana, don't you?
Alligators.
That's it, and you got them down there. Some big ones,
that's
too.
That's starting in 2 weeks. They can come kill one.
Yeah, somebody told me they saw a monster down there by the fort, you know.
Oh, they got some big ones.
I think it was Chris.
You got to watch your dogs.
I think it was my cameraman, Chris. I think he said he saw a monster right down there, way pretty far, close to where we launched the boat right there at the fort.
Yeah, they got some humdingers.
Yeah, got to be careful with those guys, too. All right, Captain Ryan, y'all have a great weekend down there, and we'll catch up with you next time.
All right, Pineapple, we'll see you soon.
All right, Captain Ryan Lambert, Cajun Fishing Adventures. All right, coming up next, I got a text message in here that says, it's from some of our Florida listeners, and it says, we love the program that feeds the less fortunate with wild game. That's Dan and Meredith listening to us in Florida. Well, Julie Grunewald is up next. She's going to tell us all about Hunters for the Hungry. Clean out your freezer day. Get ready to help the hungry and help yourself by making some room in that freezer. We're back to talk to Julie after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, I hope you took my advice and checked into your freezer and find out you need to make a little space. Got to maybe get some of that venison sausage or some of that backstrap or maybe some fish or seafood that you got and make some room in your freezer because hunting season is just a few weeks away. Well, the perfect way to clean it out and put it to good use is Hunters for the Hungry's Clean Out Your Freezer Day. A lot of you have become familiar with it, and this serves just as a reminder to participate for a lot of folks that maybe have never heard about it. Julie Grunewald, the Executive Director for Hunters for the Hungry, joins us. Julie, good morning.
Good morning, Don.
Hey, did you get the kids all off of school this week? Everything's in place?
Everybody's in place. All good. We're getting geared up for freezer day now.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's a summer just vacation for kids just seems to come and go so quick. Well, I'm glad you got an early start on it because, you know, we got football coming up and a lot of other stuff. The hunting season will actually be starting. So kind of give us the rundown, the range of dates and where the collection sites will be set up this year.
Yeah, we went a little earlier this year based on the feedback of some of our hunters and fishermen, because especially our hunters are already kind of getting into their camps and starting to get prepped for the hunting season that's coming up. But, you know, clean out your freezer day is really catching on, especially in some of these newer markets that we started a couple years ago. And we have over 30 drop-off locations throughout the state where literally you can drive up. There'll be a volunteer that will meet you at your car, help you unload your ice chest into one of our ice chests or into one of our food bank trucks that will be parked at the locations, and you can donate your goods. So we make it super simple and super easy for everybody to participate. Again, over 30 locations throughout the entire state of Louisiana. So there's a lot of options.
What type of donations will you be accepting?
So we accept anything that is properly labeled and dated. And so most of the time, as you mentioned, it's most people getting ready for the upcoming hunting season or fall fishing season that kind of thought, oh, yeah, great. I harvested this deer. I have all this meat. And then now especially the wives are saying, hey, I know hunting season's coming up. Where do you think you're going to put all this stuff? So we receive a lot of donations that are processed deer meat, sausage, fish, that sort of thing. Then we also have people that just love our mission and they appreciate what we're trying to do. They love that outdoorsmen in the great state of Louisiana are able to give back. And so we'll have people that go buy, you know, some chickens or brisket or hams or whatever and just donate them just to kind of be a part of what we're doing. So as long as it's properly labeled and dated, then we'll take it.
Hog, deer, duck, whatever wild game or seafood that you
all
might have.
All the things. And sometimes even if you have vegetables and that kind of stuff that you think that you want to donate, we'll take that too on this day.
Yeah, the food banks welcome it. Tell us about, once it's all consolidated, how is it put to good use?
So we work with all five food banks that are spread out throughout the state, and each food bank has over 100 agencies that they service. So they send out kind of an alert that tells the agencies what they have in the warehouse after this day, and then they can kind of call dibs on it, basically. And so you know, it'll be soup kitchens and shelters and churches and some that are a little bit smaller that may feed only, you know, 10 to 20 people a day, but then some that are larger that feed, there's agencies like a St. Vincent de Paul, or especially in New Orleans, that feed 400 or 500 people every single day. So we have, you know, a real need in Louisiana. We have a lot of homeless people. We have a lot of needy people that are relying on this food for a hot meal every day.
And we have a lot of generous, very generous hunters who participate and fishermen who participate in this. Julie, for somebody to find a location, whether they're listening to us up in Shreveport or Lake Charles or Natchez, St. Francisville, Slidell, give them the website where they can find the nearest location to make the drop-off on the date and time.
Yep, we have plenty of drop-offs. You can go to cleanoutyourfreezer.com. Very simple to remember, cleanoutyourfreezer.com. And, you know, Don, it's important to know that not everybody in Louisiana is like us that loves to hunt and fish. But maybe you have a family member or a friend that does, and they may not know about this program. So certainly send anybody and everybody that you know to our website. We're on all social media platforms, of course, but cleanoutyourfreezer.com will give you all the information. It'll give you my contact information if you have any questions or needs. If you have a company that wants to get involved and sponsor our program because you have a lot of employees that are, you know, big outdoorsmen, it's a great 501c3 to be able to give back to. So check it out, cleanoutyourfreezer.com.
Thank you so much, Julie. Appreciate it, and hope I set a record over on the 18th at Rouse's between 1 and 4 in Slidell. Thanks for the great job you do. We appreciate it. See you next time. All right, we try to get to all of the texts. This one's in from my friend David in Mobile. He says he woke up hungry this morning, and he's doing a few creative projects he's working on, and he's still thinking about the gumbo talk I had with Uncle Larry yesterday. Yeah, I've been filling in on WWL, our flagship station, 870 AM, for Tommy Tucker, the morning drive. live host, and I got one more day to go. Monday I'll be back on and filling in for him from 6 to 10, and we talked with Uncle Larry about gumbo, all things about gumbo. And today David's going to be trying Lucio Orfanella's recipe for shrimp and cucuza. Around here we call it gugutza, and David says it sounds delicious. Let me know how it comes out. Maybe send me some pictures, Dave. I'd love to see it. All right, here's another text coming in from one of our regulars, and he went fishing. This is Big E and Thibodeau. He went fishing at the ponds in Houma. I caught some filet-sized pumpkin seeds. I love those pumpkin seed brim. Also some bass. He was using night trawlers under sliding bobber corks. And he also watched a grandpa help his granddaughter catch her first fish. She was so excited, and now she's hooked. I got to tell you, the grandpa-granddaughter first fish thing, I've been there and done it, and highly recommend it. All right, my friend who used to work with us, Deb over in Florida, sends this in. She says, if you read this before you bad people of the outdoors, I won't give it away. We did this story in Florida because the events that took place are within our coverage area, and when I wrote the story about the four being arrested, I thought this would be a great story for Don, and there it is. Okay, Deb, it's coming up right after we pause 10 seconds for our local stations to identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. On July 24th, the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission's Division of Law Enforcement announced charges against four individuals involved in a fraudulent scheme to defraud hunters seeking Osceola turkey hunts and charge them with multiple felonies, including organized fraud, conspiracy to commit organized fraud, cheating, and the unlawful use of a two-way communication device. The investigation revealed that Larry William Collins and his co-conspirators advertised and provided fraudulent non-wild Osceola turkey hunts to unsuspecting victims through the Razor Ranch website, and they're going to be facing thousands of dollars in fines. The victims were led to believe they were paying for a genuine Osceola turkey hunting experience, but were instead guided to hunt pen-raised turkeys bred to resemble the Osceola species. The scheme involved 64-year-old Collins of Punta Gorda, Florida, who operated the Razor Ranch Blanket Hunting Preserve in Hardy County, and 57-year-old David Mills of Arcadia, who managed a game farm in Charlotte County where the non-wild turkeys were raised. Mills and 49-year-old Paul Beckham of Punta Gorda also acted as guides, leading the hunts, while 70-year-old Vernon Flowers of Naples, owner of Skins and Scales Taxidermy, mounted the fraudulent turkeys for the victims, while Collins received 10% kickbacks from Flowers for referring the taxidermy business. In addition to defrauding and negating hunters' Grand Slam accomplishments, this practice of interbreeding domestic with wild Osceola turkeys threatens the purity of this very unique species. And it's motivated by greed that the lowlife, 64-year-old Larry William Collins and 47-year-old Paul Beckham, both of Punta Gorda, and 57-year-old David Mills of Arcadia, and 70-year-old Vernon Flowers of Naples, our Florida bad boys of the outdoors. We'll follow up on this one. I hope they certainly get the max. Just bad all the way around. By the way, if you can use $12,500 in cash, you'll also help me get a future bad boy. Department of Wildlife and Fisheries in Louisiana and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, they're still looking for leads for whoever shot the endangered whooping crane this past January in Evangeline Parish. It's going to be a total of, you got it right, $12,500 cash offered by a number of organizations for information leading to the arrest and conviction of the person or persons who were responsible for shooting of that crane. If you do have information on it, you can call the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, or you can contact our Operation Game Thief hotline here in Louisiana. This happened on the morning of January 9th. There was a young whooping crane found dead in an agricultural pond on the south side of Bessie Lane in Mamou. And when the necropsy, which is the animal version of an autopsy, was performed, they determined the crane was shot and died from the fracture of the spine and intestinal hemorrhaging. You got information? Pick up some cash. That usually kind of smokes them out on a whooping crane. $12,500 reward. All right, coming back after this, we're going to check in with Ryan Lambert, our plastic man, find out how the fishing is down in Cajunland, called Cajun Fishing Adventures in Burris. He's next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And here he is, the Plastic Man, live and in person, one Captain Ryan Lambert of Cajun Fishing Adventures. Ryan, I got more people sending me pictures of big trout from Venice. I talked to Captain Dudley. He went down there and caught some big trout. You getting in on any of that trout action they're catching down there below you?
No, I don't have time for it.
Oh, okay. You must have something real important going on.
Well, we're just doing our thing, you know. In order to do that, you know, the way they're fishing and how they're fishing, you know, you get to keep two fish. My customers don't want that. You know, those big old trout, you know, over 20 inches, they each keep two. My guys want to go hit the reds, hit the trout, and then, you know, maybe mangroves and snappers and cobias and triple tails. And we're doing a little bit of everything, but, you know, the redfish bite is really, really good. So, yeah, they got some nice trout being caught down there for sure. And I don't know where they're at. I mean, I could go catch them, but it's something you have to want to do that, you know?
Right.
Now, if I got a customer that wants to go fishing big trout,
you're all in. Yeah, you're all in for that, I know. But, it's all up to what you're doing in business. And, you know, so many people I know that get into your business, and you know them too, and they think they're getting into a fishing for me business for fun.
No.
I'm going to do what I want.
It's
nothing like that. It's just entertainment and service business.
Strictly entertainment. You know, you house them and you feed them, you show them a good time, and you go catch what they want to catch. And if they want the meat or if they want – some bull reds or some keeper reds or some trout or whatever. Well, it doesn't matter what they want. We're going to maybe do our best to put them on those fish. So that's what we do.
And now, they also want information. You know, you guys are teachers too.
Oh, without a doubt. People, that's why you come with a guy, not to just load the boat, but to learn. You know, they learn so many things. Like, I would have never thought about that. Or, I didn't know to hold my rod like that or to tie the hook like that or to use that kind of technique. You know, that's what you go for.
Well, they say, I didn't know you could catch fish without shrimp.
that could go a long way down there, I tell you. They got some shrimp users. You know, I saw something this week that's really strange. The water on the Gulf after that northwest wind, it cleared up crystal clear.
Wow.
And the fish disappeared. The bait disappeared. Everything. You could see 6 foot down, and there was nothing in it.
That wasn't one of those deoxygenation problems, was it?
No. It
like an algae? No.
Yeah, the water. I mean, it was crystal clear, and the fish disappeared. I said, "Boy, we're gonna slaughter them right here." Nope, no bait, no fish, some catfish. But you know, it could have been a deoxygenation deal. You know, because if the algae falls out, that's where the color comes from. But the river's coming down. The river's 4.3 and going to 2.4, so before teal season. So teal is starting to make their moves. I'm going to Noliasi this week to get my eye right, make sure that I can hit them when they get here. And
in fact, I just got a text from Mike Smith over in Delacroix. He says they've got a few teals starting to show up over there too. So,
yeah, it's time, and then they're going to come on. The aquatic vegetation looks really good right now, and the duck potatoes, but it's not going to take but one big old easter, southeaster blowing real hard at 20 with the river at 2.4 to kill a lot of it.
Yeah.
So, but the duck potatoes are there, and they're going to stay there. So it ought to be good. You know, hopefully we'll get some teal this way this year. You know, they've been going a little bit more west towards Texas and that. But, I mean, we get our share, but
right. They've
been really doing well in the west part. So, I don't know. We'll wait and see. The fishing's good, though.
All right. Somebody wants to get you and get on the books, tell them how to call you.
Oh, they can go to CajunFishingAdventures.com and check out the website, or they could call me on this old phone at 504-559-5111.
And you do eco tours, too, because I got some people asking about that, and I always tell them.
Yeah, I do. I like to do that, too. You know, we have 184 species of birds in the wintertime on the east side of the river, which is more than anywhere in Louisiana. So it's a bird watcher's dream over there.
And you know what everybody wants to see when they come to Louisiana, don't you?
Alligators.
That's it, and you got them down there. Some big ones,
that's
too.
That's starting in 2 weeks. They can come kill one.
Yeah, somebody told me they saw a monster down there by the fort, you know.
Oh, they got some big ones.
I think it was Chris.
You got to watch your dogs.
I think it was my cameraman, Chris. I think he said he saw a monster right down there, way pretty far, close to where we launched the boat right there at the fort.
Yeah, they got, you know, they got some humdingers.
Yeah, yeah, got to be careful with those guys, too. All right, Cap Ryan, y'all have a great weekend down there, and we'll catch up with you next time.
All right, Pineapple, we'll see you soon.
All right, Captain Ryan Lambert, Cajun Fishing Adventures. All right, coming up next, I got a text message in here that says it's from some of our Florida listeners. And it says, we love the program that feeds the less fortunate with wild game. That's Dan and Meredith listening to us in Florida. Well, Julie Grunwald is up next. She's going to tell us all about Hunters for the Hungry. Clean out your freezer day. Get ready to help the hungry and help yourself by making some room in that freezer. We're back to talk to Julie after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, I hope you took my advice and checked into your freezer and find out. You need to make a little space. Got to maybe get some of that venison sausage or some of that backstrap or maybe some fish or seafood that you got and make some room in your freezer because hunting season is just a few weeks away. Well, the perfect way to clean it out and put it to good use is Hunters for the Hungry's Clean Out Your Freezer Day. A lot of you have become familiar with it, and this serves just as a reminder to participate for a lot of folks that maybe have never heard about it. Julie Grunwald, the Executive Director for Hunters for the Hungry, joins us. Julie, good morning.
Good morning, Don.
Hey, did you get the kids all off of school this week? Everything's in place?
Everybody's in place. All good. We're getting geared up for freezer day now.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's a summer, just a vacation for kids just seems to come and go so quick. Well, I'm glad you got an early start on it because, you know, we got football coming up and a lot of other stuff. The hunting season will actually be starting. So kind of give us the rundown, the range of dates and where the collection sites will be set up this year.
Yeah, we went a little earlier this year based on the feedback of some of our hunters and fishermen because especially our hunters are already kind of getting into their camps and starting to get prepped for the hunting season that's coming up. But, you know, Clean Out Your Freezer Day is really catching on, and especially in some of these newer markets that we started a couple years ago. And we have over 30 drop-off locations throughout the state where literally you can drive up. There'll be a volunteer that will meet you at your car, help you unload your ice chest into one of our ice chests or into one of our food bank trucks that will be parked at the locations, and you can donate your goods. So we make it super simple and super easy for everybody to participate. Again, over 30 locations throughout the entire state of Louisiana. So there's a lot of options.
What type of donations will you be accepting?
So we accept anything that is properly labeled and dated. And so most of the time, as you mentioned, it's most people getting ready for the upcoming hunting season or fall fishing season that kind of thought, oh, yeah, great. I harvested this deer. I have all this meat. And then now especially the wives, they're saying, hey, I know hunting season's coming up. Where do you think you're going to put all this stuff? So we receive a lot of donations that are processed deer meat, sausage, fish, that sort of thing. Then we also have people that just love our mission and they appreciate what we're trying to do. They love that outdoorsmen in the great state of Louisiana are able to give back. And so we'll have people that go buy, you know, some chickens or brisket or hams or whatever and just donate them just to kind of be a part of what we're doing. So as long as it's properly labeled and dated, then we'll take it.
Hog, deer, duck, whatever wild game or seafood that you
all
might have.
All the things. And sometimes even if you have vegetables and that kind of stuff that you think that you want to donate, we'll take that too on this day.
Yeah, the food bank's welcome. Tell us about, once it's all consolidated, how is it put to good use?
So we work with all five food banks that are spread out throughout the state, and each food bank has over 100 agencies that they service. So they send out kind of an alert that tells the agencies what they have in the warehouse after this day, and then they can kind of call dibs on it, basically. And so you know, it'll be soup kitchens and shelters and churches and some that are a little bit smaller that may feed only, you know, 10 to 20 people a day, but then some that are larger that feed, there's agencies like a St. Vincent de Paul, or especially in New Orleans, that feed 400 or 500 people every single day. So we have,
you know, a real need in Louisiana. We have a lot of homeless people. We have a lot of needy people that are relying on this food for a hot meal every day.
So. And we have a lot of generous, very generous hunters who participate and fishermen who participate in this. Julie, for somebody to find a location, whether they're listening to us up in Shreveport or Lake Charles or Natchez, St. Francisville, Slidell, give them the website where they can find the nearest location to make the drop-off on the date and time.
Yep, we have plenty of drop-offs. You can go to cleanoutyourfreezer.com. Very simple to remember, cleanoutyourfreezer.com. And, you know, Don, it's important to know that not everybody in Louisiana is like us that loves to hunt and fish. But maybe you have a family member or a friend that does, and they may not know about this program. So certainly send anybody and everybody that you know to our website. We're on all social media platforms, of course, but cleanoutyourfreezer.com will give you all the information. It'll give you my contact information if you have any questions or needs. If you have a company that wants to get involved and sponsor our program because you have a lot of employees that are, you know, big outdoorsmen, it's a great 501c3 to be able to give back to. So check it out, leadoutyourfreezer.com.
Thank you so much, Julie. Appreciate it, and hope I set a record over on the 18th at Rouse's between 1 and 4 in Slidell. Thanks for the great job you do. We appreciate it. See you next time.